This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming up in 15 minutes. Can't wait to break down with him as we are looking ahead to baseball, football, just everything Mike's got on his mind. He's only got a couple of minutes today. It's a busy day. I think he and I share similar responsibilities. Thank you. Thank you. I was looking for the term, Brian Ortega. Similar responsibilities today as school season is here. School starts next week, and I have a child who I have to take to his school and then meet his teacher. First grade, big day, very big day. So I think Mike's got some responsibilities that are similar to that. We'll talk to him for a little bit coming up here in about 15 minutes. Looking forward to school starting, I'll tell you that much. Love my children. Actually really enjoy spending time with them. The problem is finding things to do with them. Oh, my God. At times, I'm just like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I randomly one day, I think I told you guys, just stood up and was like, let's go to the high roller. Like, I don't know what to do with you guys. Let's just go on this thing and see what the whole deal is. I've never been on. 7 out of 10. 6.5. It was not that expensive, and it was very long. And by the time I got to the top, I was ready to get off. And then there was this annoying British kid on the thing. Like, it was just a whole thing. So, you know, it was fine. I could do the bar. The problem is my children. And it was like 10 o'clock in the morning at that point. And I was like, yeah, it's probably a little too early for this. And I still have to watch them for the rest of the day, make sure they're alive. All right, with that, we're going to get to a little bit of the NFL here. We have a full slate on Saturday of preseason games. But before we get to that, we should not let the big news, again, literally, figuratively, of, I think, the last week go by unnoticed, which is, of course, and our network has broken this down throughout the weeks. My take, though, of course, you need it, is that Rashawn Slater, of course, done for the year, torn patellar tendon. I got to tell you, so the Chargers, obviously, Rashawn Slater, just after getting the deal, it blows. There was actually a really great article that was up there by one of the Chargers blogs diving into the long-term effects of a torn patellar tendon for some of these football players. It's not great. So you do hope that Rashawn Slater can come back from something like this and be the effective guy that he was that earned the contract that he just got. But can we just talk about the Chargers really quickly? These are starting to build up now. Right? You had the Mike Williams retirement. You have Najee Harris with this eye thing and during the 4th of July or injuring himself. Now we have Rashawn Slater that is injured along this offensive line that still had some holes in it, now becomes weaker. You have to wonder what you're going to do on the blind side with Justin Herbert here. Trey Pipkins is a name that has been thrown out there potentially to serve as the blindside protector of one Justin Herbert. Trey Pipkins, not particularly great. 29 pressures on 838 snaps, 482 when you're talking about him pass blocking snaps for him. PFF graded him a 49.7 last year in terms of pass blocking. You've got a couple of different options. You can maybe slide around. You ask Joe Alt to play left tackle, whatever it's going to be. But all of a sudden, now the Chargers, I know a lot of people like him, and I totally understand it. I will still kind of go with the thought of, like, the whole conversation around Herbert, the fact that he somehow gets to escape from all of the lack of production when you're talking about actual wins, getting to the postseason, things like that. That's a whole other thing. But this team, man, like, much like we're actually talking about their L.A. counterpart, right? The Matthew Stafford back injury, that kind of looming over a team that was somewhat thin and top-heavy on this offense. It's starting to really pile up for the Chargers, and you do wonder how effective this team really is going to be with all of the issues that are starting to take hold here. And that offensive line, I think, could be pretty bad if they can't really find an adequate replacement for Slater. And currently on the roster, it doesn't seem like there is at this point right now. Win total still 9.5. They're still a $1.40 favorite or so to make the playoffs, but this does open the door for a team like the Broncos, who a lot of people are pretty high on, and just in general in the AFC, some of these fringe teams, you know, we'll talk about like the Jaguars, for example, in the AFC South, the Texans, opens the door for another wild card team potentially, as I think this is a massive blow for a Charger squad that is starting to get these cluster, not all of them are injuries, but just this issue, this cluster issue on this offense at different positions now, starting to pile up for the LA Chargers here at this point of the season. So with that, let's talk about those Jags. As part of a bigger preview of the preseason this weekend. This is one of those teams and lines that we saw move in their direction because of preseason information. Jacksonville, of course, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. We get news out of Pittsburgh. Let me read this tweet to you here, get all the names for you, that they are not going to play their starters. Specifically, Tomlin says Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, Jonnu Smith, Pat Freiermuth, Isaac Samalo, Jalen Warren, Darius Slay, JPJ, Jalen Ramsey, Deshaun Elliott, Patrick Queen, Cam Hayward, DJ Watt, Nick Herbig, and Chris Boswell all will not play on Saturday. The Jags will roll with their guys. Here is Duval, Liam Cohen, talking about why he decided to do it.
We will play everybody. So how long that is will kind of determine how things are going a little bit, but everybody's going to play in this game.
No, actually, it came to a... Actually, he was one of the guys that kind of convinced me, actually. Came in the weight room the other day on the day off, and we talked about it. He wanted to play. A lot of the guys want to play. So, you know, actually, you got two new systems on both sides of the ball, and the one joint, as I mentioned, so it kind of... I'm not saying it ties your hands because you can do whatever you want, but it just kind of everything leans that way is probably being the best thing for our team right now.
Goober meter going down, by the way, for Liam Cohen. Looks a lot cooler in that little bit of media availability there. So Jags are up to a 4.5-point favorite. Total's 36.5. Again, the theme of like, hey, man, maybe there's something here that we're not really doing too, like we're pushing back too much on this information, whatever it is. We know the Steelers aren't going to take this seriously. Believe that the Steelers are going to play Aaron Rodgers at some point in this preseason. We don't know how long. We don't know when it's going to be, but it looks like that is going to be the case. Let's talk about one more situation from a starter standpoint. Minnesota is going to play their starters. J.J. McCarthy will play for the first time since last preseason. We've had some mixed reports about Minnesota. I think out of all of these games coming up over the next few days, Minnesota and Houston is the one I cannot wait to watch because I want to see what J.J. McCarthy is. Here was McCarthy at media availability the other day talking about the start and what he's excited for, what he's looking for.
The biggest priorities, I would say, is, you know, just the overall, you know, choreography of the offense and, you know, making those right decisions and being able to function as one unit, one heartbeat, and, you know, be all on the same page, execute, and, you know, just fall on our football philosophy and have it come to life.
I am not one to criticize anybody for the way that they speak, but that is an interesting way to say. See, I'm going to say it wrong now, too. Choreography. All right, so McCarthy's going to get the start. By the way, we know that Justin Jefferson is not going to get the start. He's been dealing with, I believe it's a hamstring. The 19 dropbacks in the preseason against Las Vegas last year for McCarthy, 11 completions, 17 attempts, 188 yards, 11.1 yards per attempt, threw two touchdowns. If you remember, I think it was his first pass attempt, did throw the interception after that came out. It was absolutely great. So the reports again. And I got to tell you, I don't think we mentioned this. So we had, could you remind me who our beat writer was for the Minnesota Vikings the other day? So we had him on, and he had an interesting note. And I went back and listened to what he had to tell us. And it kind of oddly corroborates some of the other noise that you have heard around McCarthy. Tyler Fornes, thank you. Which is, and he dropped this, and I'm paraphrasing, which was, it was kind of a rough start, but then they dialed back the exotic blitzes, and he got a little bit better. That's not really something that you want to hear when you're talking about a quarterback trying to take over as a starter coming into the NFL. Because guess what you're going to see? You're going to see a lot of exotic blitzes, not in the preseason, but as the season goes along, it ties into this weird dynamic. Like Colin Cowherd has kind of come out, Diana Rossini, about some of the odd struggles that McCarthy is dealing with. So all this being said, I don't know if this takes shape here in this game, but I do know that I want to see what McCarthy has to bring to the table. For what it's worth, too, the Texans, D'Amico Ryan's noncommittal about his own starters, talked about it, said, quote, a handful won't see action while a certain group, quote, will see limited time. And he did not want to answer the question about whether C.J. Stroud or other offensive players, starters, would play here. So don't know what the Texans' plan is. Seem like it's pretty vague. Seems like you're probably not going to see a lot of guys, but that's worth mentioning here. So let's go to the top of the rotation on Saturday, August 9th. So this is the interesting move. We've had a flip of favorites, and then we have had another pushback in the other direction. Buffalo Bills opened up initially as a 2-point favorite with a total of 35. Giants swung back to them being about a 1.5 or 2-point favorite. Well, since then, looking at the market right now, the Buffalo Bills are now favored once again by 2.5 to up to 3 points, total of 36. We know that Josh Allen is not going to play in this game. Other starters for Buffalo will play, quote, give or take a quarter. That's McDermott who says that. On the flip side, Jackson Dart could see extended time for New York. Dable said that rookies will get, quote, as many reps as we can give them. So I don't know if that means that Jackson Dart is going to get as much time, if that's what he's talking about. But it seems like you're going to get the back end of the depth chart for the Giants. A lot of rookies out there. Maybe that's going to be Jackson Dart. But it does explain, why you're getting a little bit more of this pushback to Buffalo, where it seems like the Brian Daboll led New York Giants. Daboll, of course, in his tenure in New York, has not really taken the preseason all too seriously, is probably going to be up to his old tricks again. We talked about Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. We can go to Tennessee and Tampa Bay. We know that Cam Ward and the starters for the Tennessee Titans are going to play in this game, every preseason game moving forward. Quote, a couple of series from Brian Callahan about Tennessee Titans starters here in this game against the Bucs. Bucs, of course, signing a quarterback to try to eat some snaps as well. Baker Mayfield dinged up. He is going to play in the preseason, just not in this game. We just don't know what preseason game it's going to be. Todd Bowles told the media that throughout the week. Titans a three-point favorite with a total of 32.5. And then the other news coming out of some of these other games that we have, for example, New York Jets, Green Bay Packers, a good quote here found by two-time owner of the Green Bay Packers, Brian Ortega, about some of the situations for the quarterbacks for the Green Bay Packers coming up on Saturday, Rob Domofsky. Quote, LaFleur said he would like to get all four quarterbacks, Love, Willis, Clifford, Elgersma, is that how you pronounce the last name there? Meaningful playing time in Saturday's preseason opener. This is Rob Domofsky tweeting this out. I don't know how you get meaningful playing time when you're splitting snaps between four quarterbacks in a four-quarter game. That would maybe lead you to believe that these guys are going to get each a quarter of play, but that doesn't necessarily mean, excuse me, got a frog in the throat. It doesn't necessarily mean that Jordan Love's going to get the entire first quarter, and even if he does, it doesn't mean he's going to play a while because, of course, a quarter can be quick if you don't get the ball. So some of the updated information. Let's take our break here. When we come back, we'll have more on the preseason a little bit later. Mike Palm joins us. We'll get his thoughts on the Circus Survivor documentary that is now out, how signups are going, and what he's thinking as the preseason and football season pretty much is underway.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Circus Survivor, the quest for $14.2 million, a 10-part documentary series following the drama, strategy, and heartbreak inside the world's largest legal football contest. Episodes air nightly at 9 p.m. Eastern through Saturday on VSIN. Then catch the final five episodes August 12th through the 16th, also at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you missed an episode, you can go watch at VSIN.com/Survivor. All right, one of the many powerful men here at Circa, nice enough to give us some time, even though he's out on the road. Mike Palm is here with us on the Progressive Yes Line. Mike, appreciate it as always, especially carving out some time on a day like today. So let's start preseason. We've been talking a lot about it here on this show throughout the week. We have four underdogs that have cashed so far, if you include the Hall of Fame game. How popular has this been? We've seen some of the ratings numbers for TV. It's been great. What about from a right standpoint?
You know, people ask me, how does it compare to other events that are going on at the same time? So let's just say what was going on yesterday, last night. You know, we had four baseball games yesterday, a very light schedule. We had three WNBA games, and we had the three preseason NFL games. The WNBA games averaged about 25,000 and handle a game. The three football games averaged about 70,000 in handle, and the four baseball games averaged about $210,000 in handle. So preseason NFL is somewhere between 8% and 10% of the handle of a regular season game.
Wow. So I'm curious, what did you guys see? And maybe have some thoughts on this, because we were discussing this earlier. The information really does seem to affect these lines in a very big way, but sometimes it's not like tangible information. Adam Hill over at the RJ had a great point. He came down with us 2 days ago saying, look, Pete Carroll never said he's playing his starters deep. He just said everybody's live. And then sure enough, Geno Smith only plays a series, and then the rest of it is all the backups, and you see some of the young guys too at the back end of the game. But this information seems to be like the market seems to almost be too sensitive, Mike, to some of this stuff. And I wonder if you saw that on your end or what you think, because there's actually maybe some value in pushing back on some of these big line moves. And today we have two touchdown favorites nearly.
Well, the big line moves, I saw Jaron Smith's tweet that the last eight preseason games that had a line move of 6 points or more, they're 0-8 to the move.
Yep.
You're 8-0 if you go against the steam in all of those games. We saw two of them last night. And the other two games, the non-Raider games, where the move was completely wrong. So it's a short term, right? It's eight data points. But you certainly have to take it into account here. And once the number's already moved 3 or 4 points, obviously you're not getting the best of it. We move it quickly, though. We overmove the lines because we don't know either. What does somebody know? And here comes bet. So the limits are lower. So we're moving it quicker, too. So the line's going to be very volatile.
Yep. Mike Palm with us again, VP of Operations here at Circuit of the D at Golden Gate. Do you bet the preseason at all, or do you not have the bandwidth considering how busy you are? Because you just got to be tied in all the time. Are you betting on some of these as the preseason gets here?
The only time I do, Jonathan, to be honest with you, is if I hear Chuck Edel on something and I just blindly follow him. I'm like only the headlines right now, and try to listen to what my people that are around teams, since I have a few in the league, are telling me, and that's about it. But I'm not really getting into it at this point.
Yeah, not like grinding through Dave Canales media scrums at Panthers practice and whatnot, as we've done a couple of times here. It doesn't really work, not really worth it for the most part. And by the way, get your face caved in if you were like me with a lot of good CLV moving forward. All right, Mike Paul with us. So let's talk a little bit about contest signups. We are inching closer. Bet Bash is coming. Contest weekend is coming. What's the expectation as a lot of people are descending here on Las Vegas, specifically to Circa, to get signed up for these things?
Yeah, it's the back part of August and then that first week in September is always the huge rush for us. Now, remember last year that the documentary didn't get released till the last week of August. And then, of course, we saw the crush of signups. We averaged 1,000 a day in Survivor that last week. Now, and is there a direct cause and effect? Well, I guess we'll see this year if we see the spike immediately following the documentary release. Obviously, it's a couple weeks earlier this year, which I think helps us out. We're pacing 40% ahead in Survivor still, which extrapolates out to just over 20 million. We had two Grandissimo sign up yesterday, so we're up to 13 there. I think by the time we're done with Bet Bash next week, we'll be at the 15 or over. So we don't have to worry about that overlay at all. And then after next week, the following weekend, the 22nd, and 23rd is our sign-up weekend. I guess it really starts with the 21st with the Champions Dinner at Andiamo for the past Survivor winners, or if you finished in the top 10 in the millions. And then the meet and greet at Bar Canada. We have a stadium swim day on the 22nd on Friday for anybody that's done an entry in any of the contests. And then my panel that I do every year, the football preview panel, is going to be from 2 to 4 in the Galaxy Ballroom on Saturday the 23rd. The aforementioned Chuck Edel's on the panel this year, as well as a VSiN host, former host and contributor, Mike Pritchard, Drew Vincent, who everyone knows from A Numbers Game and some other shows, the Whale Capper, professional handicapper, and Sam Munson, who used to be the top analytics guy from several different organizations now. Sam is very good, and you've heard him on VSiN as well. So that's the panel on the 23rd.
Yeah, Monson, PFF, among I think the most popular spot PFF. He was on, and then 33rd team is where he's at now. Is that free, right, on Saturday, the panel?
It's free. Every year we had almost 200 in the ballroom last year, and then they also stream it through VSiN. They're going to stream it live again, and we take questions from the audience and questions from Twitter. So if anyone's watching and has a question, tweet it in, and it through Aaron Oster, it gets filtered to me.
Okay, I like it. Again, Mike Palm with us here. Our last couple of minutes with you, I'm curious. We were just talking about this. I was kind of making the case that the Chargers keep getting the short end of the stick here with all of these injuries, retirements, absences. Now Rashawn Slater goes down yesterday. I don't know where you stood on the Chargers previous to all of this, but how impactful do you think this could be for a Chargers team that seems to be very popular amongst our peers? When I talk to a lot of folks, it's Chargers, it's Broncos, and they keep taking it, Mike.
Yeah, I'm on the Broncos side of that. I played the Broncos. I didn't play the Chargers. I mean, I think it was amazing what Harbaugh did to win 11 games last year, when he really, really wasn't able to turn over the roster. A friend texted me when Slater was taken off the field. I think it can be very impactful in a team that obviously has a head coach that wants to run the football first, no matter how talented the quarterback is. I'm not sure it's still not the Chiefs. I don't know that the Chiefs still don't eke out this division. But I believe the Broncos are a playoff team. And I believe if they're not the best defense, they're a top two or three defense. And it's pretty amazing since we're less than 2 years removed from giving up 70 points in Miami.
Yes, an incredible performance. All right, we'll get you out of here on this. WNBA, they got three games today. Did you have anything? And what have you made of the rash of incidents at some of these games?
Well, it's getting out of hand now, and I don't know who's orchestrating all of it, but once was funny, you know,
yep.
And that now it's getting ridiculous. I made a bet. You can still get to this at plus 140, Jonathan. I made the bet 2 days ago. It was $2. Sparks to make the playoffs, yes. This is a much better team. They've won 8 of 9 now. This is a much better team, obviously, with Brink back. The girl Stevens that played at Duke and UConn is an incredible wing shooter at 6'6". You know, they were 5 games out of a playoff spot 3 weeks ago. And now they're in a deadlock with the Valkyries for the 8th and final spot. I think they get in. I think they might even get a 6th seed. So I'm very high on the Sparks right now. As far as tonight goes, I think the Aces have been playing better. And the Storm lost 3 in a row, heartbreakers at home, and now have to go on the road. I laid the 1.5 with the Aces tonight was my only play.
Can I, last one for you. Am I wrong? Cause you have a better depth of knowledge here. I thought the Carrington acquisition for the Lynx was very good. The market seems to resist making them the favorites. What's the reasoning behind this? I view Minnesota as the best team here.
Well, they're clearly the best team. I think people are going to probably wait till Collier gets back. I mean, they said a minimum of 2 weeks that she's going to be out. The Liberty have been the darlings of the market. The whole time. And I know they're defending champs, but if you watch the championship series last year, the Lynx were the better team. So I think when Collier comes back, I love the move to get Carrington. She just adds to them being the best defensive team and can defend the wings. I actually think it's a move to thwart if they have to play the Fever in the playoffs, because she defended Caitlin Clark as well as anybody last year when they kept meeting up with the Connecticut Sun.
Mike, really appreciate a couple minutes. I know you're busy, man. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Have a great weekend.
Yep, you too. Mike Palm, Cirque of the D, Golden Gate here. Great news, too, about the panel. I was going to swing by, and I'm still going to, but if you are interested in the football panel that they're going to have here at Cirque, you can't make it down. You're on town. Be streaming it here on VSIN. All right, another one of our great minds here at the network, Wes Reynolds. He's going to join us on the other side. Got to pick Wes's brain about this Big Ten and how this is going to look. I don't really have a strong opinion on the Big Ten outside of I think Penn State's the best team in the country. I'm not alone in that. And then maybe Oregon's not as good, but everything else up for grabs in my mind. So let's discuss with Wes when we return.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's been a long, I don't know, not even 12 hours, 16 hours or so, ever since I watched Anthony Richardson take that hit on the unblocked edge defender. I need somebody to share in the misery, and a fellow Colts fan is nice enough to answer the phone. Wes Reynolds is here on the program. You can follow him on Twitter, at WesReynolds1. Wes, I said this yesterday. I had a tweet fired up, but I didn't send it out. Generally, preseason games are not disasters. But if there is a disaster for a preseason game, that's kind of it for Indy. Not only does Anthony Richardson get hurt, they lose a good, young, promising corner who is potentially going to compete for a starting job. But we'll start with Richardson first. Just what's your takeaway from not only him, but Shane Steichen, who decided, you know what? Let's put him behind the backup offensive line and see how our kid does.
Yeah, John, we never like to be prisoners of the moment, right? Especially in preseason, but it's hard not to watch the holistic performance of the Colts last night and not be very, very concerned. And they put Richardson out there right behind backup offensive line. And on that particular play, I don't think it was necessarily the offensive line's fault. I know there's been a lot of breakdowns ad nauseum on the social media. I'm going to trust Kurt Warner here, Hall of Fame quarterback, saying, hey, that's Anthony Richardson's. That's AR's responsibility there to pick up that free runner, because you get a free release right from the running back. And he's got to get that ball out. Like, that's kind of like when you're in college and you finally decide your major, and then you start with the 100 level classes, the 200 level, 300 level, and so on. That's kind of like 100 level stuff. And Anthony's got to see that. and he did not, and takes a big hit, fractures the finger, and then you put Daniel Jones in, and he's against, I know he's behind backup offensive line, but he's against Baltimore backups too on defense. They didn't start any of the, of their regular guys, and he did not look very promising at 10 of 21. So when somebody commented to me, you know, the quarterback that looks the best in training camp so far is Riley Leonard, I was like, oh, you're just kind of kidding around. And even though he threw an interception, maybe he was right, because Riley Leonard probably did look the best. But there's a lot of causes for concern for the Colts. You know, at least we found out that Tyler Warren looks like he could be a dude if you can find another dude at quarterback to get the ball to him.
Yep, we completely agree there that we get the news today. There's a couple of things to follow up with, too. First off, Steichen after the game did corroborate what Warner said, which was, yeah, like the read there was five-man protection. He needed to get it out if there was going to be a free rusher. So we know it's on Richardson. The other aspect of this, too, is sounds like Richardson's going to be back to practice on Saturday, according to multiple reports. So we'll see. He's going to be fine, and we have another game to get to here for Indianapolis. All right, let's transition over to the Big Ten, your stomping grounds. I'll start with your team first. Change at quarterback, but a lot of same parts from last year. What are your expectations for the Hoosiers coming off of a playoff berth, Wes?
Probably lower than a playoff berth, but I don't think that they're going to fall off the face of the earth. 8.5, I think, is a fair win. It's just not the value there that there was certainly on 5.5, where we all were on the Hoosiers and got rewarded in pretty short order. But from what I'm hearing about Mendoza, the arm strength is something to see. You know, they got a guy with a cannon for an arm. There's a reason why he's being talked about as a potential first round pick. I know there's a long way to go to really put too much credence into mock drafts, but he's got a strong arm. He's mobile as well, because that's one thing we didn't see out of Curtis Rourke, because he was playing on that bad that ACL, and then of course he had the thumb injury late in the regular season in the Big Ten. So he was not near 100% and still produced what they produced, which was a pretty damn great offense that averaged over 40 a game, despite the fact that they played a softer schedule. But Mendoza, I think, is an upgrade at quarterback, and he's behind arguably the best offensive line that Indiana's had maybe in well over a decade, because if you watch Mendoza at Cal for the last couple of years, the guy was running for his life. That offensive line was terrible. He was sacked over 60 times. So I think the offense could be very good. It's the defense that you have some uncertainty, especially on that defensive line with CJ West gone now on the San Francisco 49ers. That's a little bit of the concern. Can they hold up against the run? And can the defensive line take away the double teams from Mikhail Kamara? Because now everybody knows about him as a commodity, as an edge rusher. But schedule a little tougher, John. You got to go to Oregon. You got to go to Penn State. You got to go to Iowa. That's always tricky. But like a 9-3 season would not shock me for Indiana. I don't think this is going to be go back to winning six games or having to win the bucket game to get bowl eligible like in years past.
All right, let's talk about the Big Ten as a whole. I wanted to start with one team that I have my questions about, Oregon. Big injury in the offseason at the wide receiver position, a new quarterback we don't know much about. What do you make of where the Ducks stand in this thing? The odds would say clear-cut third choice to win the Big Ten. I think there's a larger gap between them, Penn State, and Ohio State. What do you say, Wes?
Yeah, I think Oregon might be closer to Michigan than they are to Ohio State and Penn State. And I think Oregon's still going to be very good. And Dan Lanning, he recruits as well as anybody. So they have plenty of talent on that roster. But I do have my concerns, and it's not really necessarily at quarterback, because Dante Moore, the former UCLA transfer out of Detroit, he has been in the system at least for a year. You know, learning behind Dillon Gabriel. So I think they're going to be comfortable with him. But the offensive line's got to get remade, John. You have one starter back now. He's a Remington Award candidate, the center. But that still concerns me a little bit, with a pretty new offensive line. You only got five starters, really, that return on either side of the ball. Now, they did very well in the portal. They did very well in recruiting. Couple really good portal transfers in the secondary with Thineman, the former Big Ten freshman of the year at Purdue a couple years ago. Darren Johnson was all Big Ten at Northwestern last year. But with Oregon, you kind of got left with a poor taste in your mouth, I think, watching them in the Rose Bowl. That was the first game where I really saw Lanning and his guys get out-schemed and the team get dramatically outplayed. There's been a couple games they lost where it's like he went for it in a certain situation, got stopped, and then you lose the game. That's going to happen. But you still got to give them credit. They won the Big Ten in their first year in the conference. I still think they're going to be very good, but there's some stumbling blocks there. Having to go to Penn State, having to go to Iowa, USC could potentially be improved. They host them second to last game of the season. So, yeah, I'm a little down on Oregon. I think 10.5 to the under probably is the right play.
So of these little we'll call them upstart programs in like the middle of the pack odds wise, which do you like the best? Illinois, Nebraska, USC.
I'm a little bit more down on Illinois because everybody is so up on Illinois. They got fortunate last year, John, watching them through the season. What were they, 5-1 in one score games? They should have lost in overtime to Purdue. They should have lost at Nebraska. They should have lost at Rutgers, but they didn't. I think the media is a little bit too much out front on Illinois. And I would say if you can get 8.5 with substantial juice to the under, which I think that's still available a couple places out there, I think that that's a play. I think the schedule has got some roadblocks, even week two against Duke on the road. So sure. I'm lower on Illinois. So I would probably say USC of those three just because – they're always going to have dudes at the skill position, and Jaden Maiava, now, you know, formally the starter, doesn't have to take over midseason. I think you're going to see him develop. He's with a very good offensive mind with Lincoln Riley. But what holds USC back, I think, from jumping to the elite is they haven't had dudes on the offensive or defensive lines. Like, they had those guys coming out of the woodwork when Pete Carroll was there, and they've been trying to find that. They tried to find it under Lane. They tried to find it under Sark. They tried to find it under Clay Helton. They're still doing it under Lincoln Riley, and they just haven't found those difference makers. But I think they've got a lot of talent. I think the schedule is relatively permissible, even though you go to Notre Dame and Oregon. They're probably going to end up being favorite in every single home game in the Coliseum. We'll see with Michigan. They'd probably be a small dog today, but I think USC does rebound a little bit. They've got a lot coming back.
All right, so let's we'll close on this. I have taken the plunge. I have taken the dive. I did bet Penn State to win the national championship. I am buying in. I think they're the best team in the country. We're also getting reports at a camp that Julian Sands legitimately getting pushed in this quarterback competition, if you will. But what do you make of this dynamic at the top? Penn State, Ohio State, can Franklin get it done? Or is this just going to be the Buckeyes with a talented roster yet again?
Yeah, and Bobby Carpenter was on Tim Murray's podcast, former Buckeye, saying Lincoln Kindholz is really pushing Julian Sands. So I'm with you, John. I'm all in on Penn State. I like them for the national title. I think Drew Aller, even though he's got that great running back duo that could take away some of his numbers, I think Drew Aller at 18-1 is worth a shot at the Heisman. I think he's going to be better with Andy Kotelnicki, the offensive coordinator in the second year. Kotelnicki, when he was at Kansas, likes to do a lot of that deception, misdirection type of stuff, likes to put these receivers in motion. And this receiving core, by the way, substantially better, I think, even though it's an all portal class, very, very much better than what we saw against Notre Dame, where they couldn't get any separation. So I think this Penn State offense is going to cook. And then they're all in getting Jim Knowles, arguably the best defensive coordinator in the country. You lose Tom Allen, who is a very good one in his own right, to Clemson. We just go pay for Jim Knowles. So yep. Penn State's willing to spend that money, not only in the NIL, but with the coaching staff. So if now, when for James Franklin? So we've kind of derided him as a, you know, small game or little game James, but I think he could be big game James this year. I like Penn State to win it all. I think this is the best roster he's had in his tenure by far.
Put together a brilliant performance and a loss to Oregon State in the Big Ten Championship game. Won two playoff games last year. Yeah, I'm in. I think that this is kind of the turning of the tide. Wes, good to talk to you, buddy. Thank you very much.
You bet, John. Thanks for having me.
Wes Reynolds won up on Twitter. Long shots and all of the VEASAN contributions that he makes across the network. Check it out. When we come back, I got distracted. We got some breaking news in the NFL and a little bit more to build on when we return and close out Money Moves.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted. I am currently reading a Twitter beef with our wonderful producer, Brian Ortega, who came to the honor of one Stormy Bonatoni. That's pretty funny. Challenging people to Twitter fights. It's pretty hilarious. Especially because the guy knows where you work. So, like, if he really wanted to, he could come and find you any day of the week. So, warning to you, I don't know if I like you that much, Ortega, that I would actually step in and protect you. I probably would. Looking for a scrap every once in a while would be fun. All right, really quick, we do have some news coming out of the NFL. It's not big, but it is just always worth pointing out when teams continue to suffer cluster injuries at a position, it is very worrisome for this team. And we've covered this team quite a bit, so it's not really like a piling on of sorts. But Joe Shad, who covers the Miami Dolphins, tweets out that Dolphins cornerback Jack Jones carried off the field by Teron Armstead after being flagged in coverage. Jones' lower body assessed by trainers left on a golf court. This is now the third corner that has been injured. Two of them have been lost for the season for the Miami Dolphins. Now Jack Jones getting injured. This depth chart for the Miami Dolphins at the cornerback position. Currently penciled in as a starter, Kendall Sheffield, Storm Duck on the other side. Jack Jones was second on the depth chart at left corner. Obviously injured now. We'll see what his status is. Ethan Bonner, Jason Marshall Jr., Cam Smith, and B.J. Adams. It is a who's who of who. And, man, this secondary could be the worst, and I think it is the worst in the NFL. You know, I don't know if Stormy will be anti, you know, guest-wise. We'll do a little producing on the air. We got to talk to somebody from Miami at some point this next week or so, because this cornerback room seems to be an absolute nightmare just because of injuries. It was already a weak position group as it is, and now you could be down one more potentially. Again, Jack Jones leaving due to injury and getting carried off the field today in a golf cart. So Miami really experiencing quite a bit there at the cornerback position. All right, let's get to best bets before we wrap and take a look at some of these other games. Get the G-Bank Visa signature card today, folks, built with sports bettors in mind. While most credit cards treat sports books and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when you're using your own money, G-Bank treats them as regular purchases. Means no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3-5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSiN.com/GBank. First, we'll start in the National Football League. I am going to come back and take a piece of the, let me see where are we at here number-wise. Excuse me. Yeah, we'll take a piece of the Cleveland Browns at +6 against the Carolina Panthers. Now, I guess worrisome would probably be the right term. You really dive into what Dave Canales has started to say since announcing that he is going to play his starters, and you really get a sense of what this is going to look like. Told the team media, 8 to 12 snaps, maybe a long series. If we go 3 and out, I'll maybe try to get them out there for one more. It sounds like, yes, he's playing his starters, but it doesn't sound like they're doing anything serious here. Given the position that I'm already at with Panthers, -140 on the money line, I think it's safe to say I'm going to come back and grab a little piece of +6 on Cleveland, understanding that what we discussed, I think Cleveland's a fade. But I don't know if this is worth moving up to 6 points just based on the fact that the Panthers are playing their starters, when in reality it might just be one drive, and then you're going to get the backups the rest of the way for the Carolina Panthers and the fringes of this depth chart too. So we'll go there. It's also worth noting as we are speaking, DraftKings has moved to 7 for the New England Patriots today against the Washington Commanders. Again, if you moved or if you went with or against the line move in these last few years, you're sitting on an 8-0 run here. And right now we have another big line move in favor of the New England Patriots. So this is not a best bet. Just worth noting that as we're talking, the screen's kind of lighting up. New England, a 7-point favorite, but still wouldn't really say no to pushing back on that either. The comments from Vrabel have been very, very vague when you're talking about how they're going to handle this. The quote from Vrabel: I would say most everybody that's healthy should expect to play in the game. How long they'll play, I don't know, but we have to prepare to play football and prepare to win football games. So that's the mentality that we're going to take. Sam Hartman, Josh Johnson are going to take the majority of snaps at quarterback today for Washington. But again, pushing this up to 7, just based on Vrabel saying, yeah, everybody's going to play, I don't know how long, that could be a series. And then we're talking about a game in which it's an empty opening series that they don't script for, and then you have a game between the backups the rest of the way, and yet we're sitting here on a spread of 7, just based on that information. So big line move there. Let me add one more best bet to the coffer as well, since we're talking about our best bets brought to you by G-Bank. Also put a bet on the Reds and Chase Burns today at -120. To get this thing done against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Burns, if those who haven't been keep track of it, on the surface looks pretty poor. 6.04 ERA, but .290 fielding independent. Some really brilliant swing and miss stuff for Chase Burns. I think he is at some point going to find his level here, be the guy that is generating high level swings and misses, putting his team in position, or be able to put his team in position to win some of these games. Pirates lineup has been scuffling a little bit here as well, as we know throughout this entire season. If Burns is going to come out and maybe even out a little bit here, it's going to be against a lineup like the Pittsburgh Pirates, which I think he can do today. Again, all the metrics, all the underlying numbers would tell you that Burns is a dude worth banking on. I don't know from a future standpoint, but just when it comes to a start-to-start basis, and the market seems to generally agree. We see some spots around, let's see, on the open. Yeah, open like minus 120. Other spots are upwards of about minus 126 right now in favor of Burns and the Reds. I think they're in a good spot. Keller's going to oppose him. Also threw a little bit on under 1.5 in the first three, a plus 130. I think that's going to be something, too, where Keller against this Reds lineup, which has been greatly struggling and has been very strong throughout this entire season, can come out, put the Pirates in position, as well as Burns really coming out and generating some swings and misses against this lineup. So really like Burns in the Reds minus 120, and then went with the first three under 1.5. Remember, we talked with Will Hill earlier today. He talked about recommended the under 4.5 hits, still widely available there. For Chase Burns here in this spot, under minus 130 is what you're looking at in that regard. All right, a couple of other baseball games that are just worth hitting on as we get outside of best bets and just discussing the big picture in some of these contests. A couple of games that I got priced out of relatively quickly. We talked about the Brewers. I do like the Brew Crew there against Kodai Senga, Brandon Woodruff on the hill. That opened up at like $1.25. We're now upwards of minus 140, 145. Double checking the market right now. Yeah, minus 145. Some spots up to $1.30. I was floating around $1.36, but I think the Brew Crew is going to be pretty live here. But again, I'll see if maybe there's some buyback come in on a cheap price. I agree with Will. Let's talk about this game really quickly. Astros and Yankees. Hunter Brown versus Cam Schlittler here. Brown's getting the start. Hunter Brown has been his usual self. He has been very, very solid. Outside of a stretch where you look a couple of starts ago, where in three outings he had given up about, I think, 13 earned runs over the course of three outings. It was 17 innings. Since then, back-to-back starts, 12 consecutive innings in which he has given up one earned run or fewer in each of those. He has struck out 11, walked three, and one of those was on the road against Boston. So he's performed well against some strong lineups. I just don't really agree with the way the market is pricing this Yankees team at times. You go back to earlier in the week, we talked about this when they faced Eovaldi out there in Texas. It was a very short price there. I think the Yankees are still, by the betting market standards, being priced as a team that deserves, like, that is highly respected, better maybe even than the Houston Astros. But I just don't really think that is, I shouldn't say better, but priced a little too high in my regard. So I'm going to go and give Brown a little bit of a shot here. Schlittler's been fine as you look at it, not really pitching super deep into some of these games, but giving the Yankees enough to give them an opportunity. Gave up two earned runs, both of them solo shots on the road against Miami in that series last weekend in which they got swept. Hasn't given up more than three earned runs at a start since he's been out there, but also hasn't pitched very deep into some of these games. Longest outing was his first outing this year. 5 1/3, four hits. That was his major league debut. Struck out seven against the Seattle Mariners. Schlittler's fine. But I think given Hunter Brown, the fact that this market's kind of dwindling out in the direction of the New York Yankees, have a little play on the Houston Astros today as well. I'm going to be curious to see where the market goes, though, because, again, not like one-way traffic here, but it does seem like there is a steady direction. And, in fact, some spots, the Yankees are favored. So we'll see if we can get a little bit closer to, like, even money on the Houston Astros, but we'll be betting the Astros a little bit later today against the New York Yankees. And also want to note another line move here as Max Scherzer and the Toronto Blue Jays. We have a lot of really big series. These interleague series that are starting this weekend are phenomenal. Philly and Texas, Boston and San Diego, Toronto and Los Angeles, all arguably World Series previews between these clubs. But Toronto and LA, Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer, we saw this open about like $1.50. Now we're starting to see some movement in favor of Scherzer in Toronto. Look, Kershaw's been pitching pretty well, so I'm going to be curious to see how cheap this gets in favor of LA. Understand the scuffles that this Dodgers lineup has been experiencing. Going back a couple days here on this very show, we have discussed them at length. But if this gets priced pretty cheaply here with the Dodgers at home, Kershaw pitching as well as he has against Scherzer, who's been pretty mortal, I'll be tempted to face the Toronto Blue Jays with Clayton Kershaw a little bit later today. I'll be looking for like $1.25. I don't know if it'll get that low, but we're starting to see some online shops get under that $1.30 price tag. So that'll be something I'm very much worth looking at in my mind here. And how about the Padres, too, by the way? Really quick shout-out here. Opened up at $1.80. Seems a little high, even with Walker Buehler, and we're starting to see some buyback. Can't wait to watch that series. All right, coming up next, very much looking forward to the coverage the rest of the week as the preseason, of course, hot and heavy. We're going to have our guys at Prop Points, Adam Schein, and Making It Rain coming up as well, leading you into Mitch and Paul on Follow the Money. It's been a fun week. Stormy will be back on Monday. Very much looking forward to that. And make sure you go to VSiN.com. Check out everything we have to offer, including our $9.99 special. We'll see you next week here on Money Moves.